Thank you for joining us here at Christian Ministries Church of Southwest Missouri. Our prayer and goal is that this dynamic teaching edifies, encourages, and builds up the body of Christ to be doers of the Word. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
I'm pretty excited about today's message because this is something that has just been a foundational truth in a message that I preach and teach everywhere I go. It's just a part of who I am and what I have seen that every church needs to see, and I think we miss. Are y'all ready for today? All right, well, make sure and tell your face that. Tell your eyes and tell your voice, and we'll get into the Word today. And I pray that this will make a difference in your lives. Today, everyone here has good qualities and bad qualities. If you didn't know that. See, if anyone were all perfect, then we wouldn't need Jesus. So everybody here has good and bad qualities, and everybody's sitting here. You know, and here's what I've found. You get along with people who you major in the same good qualities that they major in. I mean, really, the people that you can see their area of interest, their excitement about things they're good at, you'll find that you'd want to hang with them. Hunters just have this way of grouping together. Fishermen. Let me just get off of the guys for a second. Shoppers. Someone that don't like shopping don't like hanging with somebody who likes shopping. And so we can understand that we get along with people very well who we major in their good qualities, and then we don't always hang out with those who we major in bad qualities. We're a product oftentimes in life of what we feed ourselves. Not oftentimes, every time. If we feed our emotions, they can take over real quick. You want to feed that emotion, it can get you, just like that. See, you watch, what do you mean, Pastor? You watch a scary movie and you what? You get bold and excited and I can take on the world. No, you watch a scary movie and you're like, we're going to sleep with the lights on tonight. You will fall for someone if you are single, depending on what you think of them and what they feed you of themselves. You'll fall for them. See, what the more you get to know them, you can start seeing sometimes who they really are. Good and bad. Good and bad. In this church, people get here, and they're all excited about this church. I've seen it time and time again over the last 10 years. And then after a while, you're not as excited as you were when you first came. I've seen it happen. Why is that? Here's why. Because you oftentimes, when you're looking for something good, you'll find it. And so you can enjoy that for a while. But after you get to know things here, you'll start seeing some things that you might disagree with. That you might, I don't know. See, you join, and there's not a better church in the world. Come on. There's just not. But they're not a better church. Everyone here shows such love and compassion, and they greet you, and they make me feel so special. That is just awesome, but just give it a while. See, the negative things will start surfacing about decisions, about people, and about life. And that is where a decision to live on a commitment has to come from. I see people in their 40s that have been looking for 20 years to get married, and they're just looking for their soulmate. I can't stand that word. Just looking for my soulmate. You ain't ever going to find your soulmate. You better find a commitment. And I'm going to live on that, because after you start dating someone, you'll find it. They got some bad qualities. And they'll become major if you let them. Them bad qualities, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Michelle, just talk to her. She can tell you all of mine. Now, hopefully, as I mature in the Lord, they've gotten a little better, but praise God, she quit majoring on them. I'm just talking about me. See, the difference in the ones who stayed hooked up here for a long time are the ones that have lived on a commitment, not on a feeling. The marriages that have stayed hooked up for 30, 40 years are the ones who didn't get caught up on bad qualities. They got caught up on a commitment. Amen. And I want you to understand that people will say, this is where God sent me. I just know that. I just know this is where God sent me. And then they find out something about somebody or something that's going on in the church or what somebody said. And I just don't know if I can be there anymore. Or not liking the way they did this event, or not liking one of the groups that they could be a part of and they're not, because I just don't like so-and-so in there. And we just all of a sudden we start letting these feelings operate on what we're going to do, and we forget about the commitment. And really what we forget about is that God said, this is where you need to be. And here's my question is, was God wrong? Here's what most people say. No, God wasn't wrong. I just missed it at the first time. I missed it at the beginning. I thought I was excited, and I was wrong. I wasn't excited. I saw you. You were excited. People saw you. They saw the thrill. See, it's a choice, and I continually seem to be talking about this in relationships and in counseling, marriage trouble coming in, and I'm talking to people with marriage problems, and I'm going, hey, listen, you got to understand, this is a commitment. They're not going to be everything you want them to be. And you just need to know that. See, you got to choose that every day I'm going to stay married. Every day I'm going to make this work. It's not just one perfect person for you, because if there was, Jesus wouldn't have came. There's not a perfect person. There's a choice you can make and stay hooked up through good and bad. And I want to say that that's the same thing with the church. And I'm talking about marriage and the church today because Jesus talked about that. I want to encourage you today, stay here and stay hooked up, because God called you here. Now, if you're looking for a church home, there won't be a better one. And I'm telling you, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, you're going to love it. And then after a little time, you're going to hate it, but you got to live on a commitment. Because there are just going to be things that you don't like wherever you are. There's a word that I want to talk about today. About 5 years ago, I mentioned this same word, and I felt like we really needed to talk about it today. From 2011 till now, who has started coming to this church and stayed hooked up? Raise your hand really high. 2011 and up. Boy, look at that. Look at that. See, 2000, if you weren't here before that, you've never heard anything about this. And we got to know about this. This is important. This is really important because it's where our church is going in our world. And we are not called to go where some of these churches are headed. Here's the word. It's called spectator. A dictionary definition is one who watches without taking any active part. That's a spectator, just one who watches without taking any active part. We're in an era of history in our culture, in our society, our nation as a whole, where we're living a spectator mindset. I mean, that's just what we do. Super Bowls, World Series, you have thousands watching in the stands, thousands watching at home. I'm talking about the whole country seems to be tuned in to our Super Bowl and our World Series, and they're watching these players out there, and they're getting after it, and they're doing it, and they're wow, running and going and watching these 9, 10, 12 players on the field, some of them on the sidelines getting ready to go in, and everybody watching needing exercise but watching everybody else get it. Every major town trying to pass a bond issue for a new stadium to hold a big event so people can come and take no active part. Spectator. So that's what we can see this. I mean, someone entertain me, please. I have to be entertained. Some houses you can just look at and you can wonder if they have enough food to eat, but they're going to have a satellite dish on that house. I mean, we've seen this. I'm driving all across the country. I have watched. I'm thinking, I wonder if they have enough food to eat. And I'm thinking, well, they got enough money to buy whatever they're wanting to watch. They're going to watch TV. Now, I know they only are watching Christian programming. Of course, we had four channels growing up. How many can identify with that? So not all of them you could just flip the channel to. Some of them to get to, you had to go out and adjust the antenna. But that's right, four channels, and then you had somebody with the window open. Ah, you got to stop! And so it took two people just to watch all four channels. There were others that would come in periodically at different times of the day, but most part they were snow. I know you guys don't have a clue what snow is. You either have TV on or it's off. I got that. To get some channels was very difficult. And see, the one or two channels that you did get couldn't compare to what I could come up with on my own. As a kid, I mean, Saturday morning was the only time they had my attention. And I know you don't have a clue what that means, young people. But there used to be a time where there wasn't a cartoon channel. And cartoons would only come on Saturday morning. So Saturday morning they had my attention. But the rest of the time I didn't have an option. I thought, this is not going to be good. You can go outside and create way more fun than you can find on the TV. So there's just a lot more that you could do. And then at night, when it's dark, you go down and play in your room or play with mom and dad or enjoy time together as a family. There were other things to do because TV wasn't that interesting. And then every once in a while it would get interesting. You could watch some, especially around the holidays, they would play these Christmas shows on evenings. I'm like, yeah, unless the president was on. Then all four channels. See, president comes on now, no big deal. You got 200 of them. He ain't on most of them. So... See, it's better now to sit and watch than it is to go outside and play. It's better now to enjoy HD TV. Now they got these 3D TVs. I'm not going to ask if anybody has one, but that's my next one. 3D television. I mean, you don't have to go outside. Outside comes right in your room. I can't wait to watch my first 3D hunting show. It'd be hard for me to keep my bow out of there. See, Ashley, I don't live as a spectator. I work and I provide for my family. I understand that. But for the biggest reason why people work is so that they can go and spectate. See, they're working so they can go and buy the next ticket to whatever it is that they can go sit and take no active part. Are y'all getting this? On TV, we watch sports, all types of sports. They have all kinds of sports channels. They even have chess. You can watch chess. I don't get that, but you can. Olympics. I mean, we live to watch. Years ago, that you couldn't wait to get out of school so you could go add that next addition onto your treehouse. I mean, but now kids don't even know what a treehouse is. See, how many play Cowboys and Indians? Nobody plays Cowboys and Indians anymore. We don't even know what Cowboys and Indians are. I mean, how about FBI and Taliban? I mean, something. What we have developed is a great ability to criticize. See, through being spectators, we'll watch TV, and we do it at home all the time. With these singing shows, they were horrible. That was bad, and we're going to sit there and keep watching it. Listen how bad they are. And we just criticize. See, if we don't like it bad enough, we can just flip the channel and watch something else. We can criticize the coach as we're watching these sports and say, he should have done that. And I have sat with a lot of different people here and watched different sports at times. I can't stand it very long, but I'll watch it for a little while, and I'll hear them say, here's what they should have did. Here's what they should have done. Here's what should have happened. And we're going to criticize the coach. And boy, can you believe what he just did there, that player? We're going to sit there and tell what everybody else should have done and take no active part. That's a spectator. We go to a movie, and I do it all the time. I go to a movie and say, that was horrible. Mall Cop, I just watched number two. Did you enjoy it? I mean, I identify with this guy. All I need is a segue. That's all I need. I think I would look better doing the sliding and stuff, but to me, I think that, but I think most people would think that's exactly what I would look like. But I watch this and I go, as soon as I watch number two, I was pretty funny. I'm laughing through most of it. But I mean, that ain't really no different than one. I should have just went and watched one again. I laughed just as loud at one. So why go watch two? And I'm going to criticize something that I took no active part in my mind, I mean. If you notice the churches across America that are exploding, 10, 20,000 people, they have huge orchestras, productions, seatings in a coliseum. Thousands come to be a spectator. They have major TV shows watching them all across the country. Now, I mean, even now, we have people that are a part of a church that sit at home and watch it from their television. Did you hear what I just said? They're a part of church. No, they're a spectator of a church. They're not a part of a church, but we have people that just watch TV and think they're a part of the church. I have been hurt just looking and watching what's going on. See, because we've got Christian people all across the country going to these big, big coliseums, watching services from home or watching them in the coliseum, going and maybe even sitting there being inspired and being blessed, but still taking no active part. And I want you to see this. See, there's no one calling someone else concerned about something they're dealing with. If you're watching church from a television and taking no active part, just know this, no one's taking any active part in you and in your life. See, no one knowing what's going on in each other's lives. Someone's grandpa's in the hospital, nobody even knew it. Someone passes away in a family and nobody has any clue. See, they're not concerned. They're not concerned because someone, you're just going to get somebody to make you feel good, emotion, and then let me go on about my business because I don't really want anybody's involvement in my life. You have sports teams that quit thrilling people and what happens? Come on, you've seen this. People quit going. But when you got a team that's winning everything, I mean, they're winning and they're stomping people and you're like, I got to tune into this. This is going to be awesome watching somebody get whooped. I mean, I just can't wait. What happens when somebody quits thrilling, though, is they start trying to recruit. I have been amazed watching what's happened with the Kansas City Royals in the last 2 years. Nobody except for Marie Olsen cared anything about them. For those of you that know Marie, she's someone who is a fan. But, you know, she didn't post much about it because it was kind of embarrassing until they started winning. And then look at her posts. So what I'm telling you is a team that quits thrilling people, they've got to make some changes so that they can start entertaining again and seeing they'll start recruiting from here, they'll start doing this, they'll try to get some big name on their team so that they can fill the stadiums again. And we look at that in sports arena, and what I want you to see is that's no different than in our churches. You bring a big name into a church and they'll fill it. Watching them speak, watching them preach, thrill people. They'll come for a few moments to see the show and then they'll be gone. We've watched that right here as we've done evangelistic outreaches. We'll try to say we're giving a bunch of stuff away. We want to get people here so that they can come and take no active part. Most of them do. They'll come to our event and then they leave, never engaging in the church. Now, there's a few that do. Praise God. That's why we do them. But most come because they want to see what's going on and just be a spectator. And what I want to get a hold of is that we've got to have a different mindset in the church. See, I don't go to a conference unless I know who's speaking. I got to know who's speaking. I got to know if they're going to entertain me, bring something into my life and that kind of thing. But I never go to the conference thinking that I'm going to church. I go to a conference to get something. I get that. But we got most people just going to church to get. That's a spectator. Well, I did my duty today. And I want to, well, Pastor, what's wrong with that? See, if you live in that principle, then you've got a misunderstanding of the church. I want to make sure we understand this. You know, you start driving around on Sunday morning or on your way here. Most of y'all passed at least one, if not 100 churches on your way here. 100 may be an exaggeration, but a lot. So you pass a lot of churches on your way here, and you see people showing up to these churches, praise God. Most of them, though, I would venture to say, have missed the understanding of the concept of the body of Christ. And here's why, because statistically, the church is ran by less than 20% of all 100% of its members. 20% take care of everything, and 80% do nothing except for come and be a spectator. I intend totally today to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me and to step on some toes. If you go to church and don't expect that, then you need to go to another church. Go and expect to go, okay, now I can go take care of that. See, I can fix that. The Lord just spoke to me, and I'm good to hear that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Josh mentioned this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. The programming of our society, I want you to know before I go a step further, is that I love being a spectator. I'm all about it. I enjoy going and watching our volleyball team. Here at CMA, I enjoy going to different sporting events every once in a while. I'm not a big fan of going every week, but every once in a while, going to see a sporting event. I can enjoy that. I really like going and watching a movie as long as I've checked kids in mind and make sure that I'm not watching something that's going to fill me with dirt. You know, I mean, I enjoy going and being a part and being a spectator. I'm thrilled that our youth are going to see that Christian movie today. Praise God for that. Go and be a spectator. Cry, laugh, get your emotions all rallied up. But just know this, you did nothing to make that movie a success. Well, I gave him some money. I don't want you to think for a second I'm against all this stuff. But what I'm talking about is a separation going on in our minds from going to an arena or a movie as a spectator and then coming in this door as a member of the body of Christ. How many have heard this Ephesians chapter 5 read at a wedding? Most have. Most have. And I want you to know something today. This is not about a marriage or a wedding. It was meant for the church at Ephesus to get them to understand the role of the church. Verse 22, chapter 5. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, and then you can underline or read, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, wives should submit to their husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as, once again, you can underline, as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present to her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Verse 32, hear this today, church. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. A man and woman leave and cleave, and there is one flesh, marriage. One flesh, marriage. Good and bad, one flesh, marriage. See, there's a relationship between a husband and a wife that no one else has with them. No one else has. I'm trying to get you to see what you have here is a relationship, a protection. See, when Michelle and I walk down the street, I'm street side and she's building side. Because I'm making sure and watching cars and everything else. When we go into a restaurant, my kids and everybody know, I want to sit facing the door. Why? Because I'm going to protect my family, my wife, if anybody comes in there to provide harm. And I'm watching all the time. I'm watching guys. Yesterday, I went on a date with my daughter. And she didn't even see this, but we're standing in line getting ready to check out where we were eating at. And there's a guy standing there, and he is staring at her. Now, I thought about... But I thought, no, here's the protection I can provide. She's way smaller than me, and he can't see through me. if anything happens, I'm there to take care of her. See, I'm not talking about marriage here, though. I'm talking about the body of Christ. No one is going to talk bad about my wife and me be okay with it. I'm just telling you. I'll set them straight pretty quick. You're out and about in the community and you hear somebody talking bad about our church. What are you going to do? I'm not talking about the marriage here. I'm talking about the body of Christ. What are you going to do? What are you going to say? Be careful about ever putting down another church. We can assist. We can help. We can recognize that they may have a need, but don't be putting them down. See, what's your response when you hear somebody talking negative about a church? You got to protect the church. You got to protect this church. Don't talk bad about each other. If you hear something, stop them and say, hey, whoa, wait a minute here. Or go to them. It is imperative to keep the body functioning right here. There's respect here. See, I have a different relationship with people in this body of believers than I do with people in the world. And I protect what's going on. I know that in a marriage, some people will say, I've heard this said about brothers and sisters a lot. I can say whatever I want to about my brother or sister, but you better not say anything. I've even heard men referring that to their wife. They can sit there and slam her all day long, but then somebody else slams her and they start defending her. What I'm telling you is that will also lead you into destruction. You sitting there slamming her, but then making everybody else quit. I want to guard you about that in the church also. You be careful that you're not only protecting the church from what other people say, you protect the church from what you say. The same way you need to protect your brothers and sisters, and you need to protect your wife, men. We got to get this. You can't be going out talking all negative about church, programs, or anything in the church and expect God to profit you in that vision. It won't happen. It just as it won't profit you in marriage. That's what Ephesians 5 is talking about. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn back over here a few books. And I want you to hold your place here for the next couple weeks. Chapter 12. Verse 4, you got to pump this into you because this is not what you receive from the world. See, I'm programmed to be a spectator, and I want to make sure that I associated with the body of Christ, am not bringing that philosophy into his house. Verse 4, chapter 12, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Ooh, wait a minute here. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. How can you do that if you're watching church on TV? How can you do that if you're not here? I know I'm preaching to the choir because y'all are here today. At least, I hope you are. So you can't. You have to be here to give your gift. That's the only way. Everyone here is a little different, as I said at the beginning. Good qualities, bad qualities. But everything that we have good has to be given for the common good of everyone else. Now, I want to make sure that we get this. See, no one paid anybody to come in here this morning and produce what you just saw on stage with the worship team. No one paid them to be here. They all came because they wanted to bring their gifting and provide it for the common good of everybody here. Praise God for them. We so minimize what God can do in the workings of the body. We have cooks, we have greeters, we have people who can bring and do. There are people that come in and they give you a hug and you know you've been hugged. There are people that come in here and they'll shake your hand and you're like, hello. And there are people that need to learn to hug or need to learn to shake a hand because they can't hug worth a flip. I mean, they're horrible. They're terrible at it. Just talking. Ben's working on Ben every Sunday. I get a kick out of that. Rick's in on it now. They're both squeezing him. See, some have the gift of hugging. Some are great with kids. Some are good with men. Some are good with women and leading and helping. Some can drive a bus or a car or something to go get somebody. Some do a great job of helping with the parking. Some can count money. Some build and know how to take care of maintenance issues. There are some that can do this and some that can do that. What I'm telling you is what you can do needs to be given for the common good of everybody here. And that is being an active part, not being a spectator. And so I want to make sure that we get this point. I have to understand you've been given abilities all for the good of everybody here. And that's important so that we can help each other, verse 7. Jump over to verse 12 here in chapter 12. Let's continue to read. Here we go. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that make it any less part of the body? If the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Don't you love the Bible? I do. But our bodies have many parts, and God put each part just where He wants it. Praise God. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. The parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care, so we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. We are all one body, no separation at all. Why would we not want that? Because we can see, if we recognize that everybody brings their giftings here, then we can appreciate the making up of the body of Christ. We can appreciate that. There has to be, and if you hear me, there has to be a benefit to everyone here because of you. Wow. What is it that because you're a part of this body, everybody's benefited by? It's tough. The church is the embodiment of Christ in this world. See, when you go to a stadium to watch, you have a privilege of deciding when and if you're going to go, if you want to arrive late or if you want to arrive early. If I want to go, great. If not, great. I got a choice to make. I go to the game when it starts. I have no thought of whether the stadium is clean or not, whether there's toilet paper in all the bathrooms. I never even think about any of that. I don't have to worry about the sound system. I don't have to worry about the computer. I don't worry about the restrooms. I don't worry about the times. I don't worry about the kids that aren't mine. I don't worry about where I'm going to park. I just go, I sit down, I can go, and I can go on and on. Are you getting this? See, I have no worries, no concern. If I want to go, great. If not, I hear this all the time. Pastor, tonight I just had other things going on. Wednesday, I just had something else going on. What if everybody in the church operated just like you? There wouldn't be a church. We had other things going on. We're missing what Paul wrote. Matthew, turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Here's Peter talking, and he says, "Hey, here's who you are. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now, I love this scripture. One of my favorite scriptures in all the word. Hopefully everyone, though, knows that Jesus did not build his church on Peter. That'd have been a disaster. Peter, I don't know what's going on here. Let me just go cut this guy's ear off. I mean, all these things that I don't even know him to a little girl. Come on. How horrible would it have been? No, he built the church on Peter's understanding of who Jesus was. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And upon that revelation, I'm going to build my church on that revelation. I'm going to build my church on that. See, I'm a part of the church. I'm a part of the church. Church, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. They won't. The church won't be overcome by any force of hell. There is a protection in the church. Run to the church. You have protection for your kids, for your family, for your wife, for your finances. You just read the word. You got protection here. Why would you not want to be here? And just being here as a spectator is not cutting it. It's being here as a participant of everything going on. I have to be at church because I'm a part of the church. I have put myself in a place where I have no option. This is where I'm going to be. For 2,000 years, not any institution has withstood more persecution, onslaught, and is still here. Not one, only the church. It's been made fun of, it's been called stupid, and in today's time says it's irrelevant. Well, I disagree. When an issue comes up with somebody in the body, they don't have to deal with what's going on all by themselves. There's people here that love them, that will work with them and see them through. They have protection and comfort within the body. Now, is it always exactly right? No. But without it, there's nothing. See, bring it on, devil. You can't whip the church. You can't whip us. Our church has already dealt with people upset about the body going forward, about things happening. We've dealt with that from the beginning. Well, all I can tell you is the devil lost every time. And he'll continue to lose. With one phone call in January of 2012, I'm coming back from Kansas City and our house is on fire. It was a bad day. I was 3 hours away. I missed my turn and made it a 4-hour trip. I've driven that road 100 times. Missed my turn turning on 7. And what are you thinking? I wasn't. I just was everywhere but where I needed to be mentally. One phone call. Just about everybody in this church was at the end of this dirt road. Why? Because the body was in need. And when the body's in need, the eye shows up, the hands show up, the feet show up, everybody's there. And that's what I've just seen happen. And I will never get up and ask my wife, I wonder if we should go to church today. See, it's just not an option. Wednesday nights, they're just not an option. Things need to be done here, and it's not one person's responsibility. The body of Christ, it's never one person's job. It's everybody's. It's the whole body. I hear people say, I can tell you what they need to do. Let me just tell you, you as they. We just miss this. The way the church works, you see a need, you sit there, and you wait for someone else to do it. I knew that needed to be fixed years ago. What? You knew that needed fixed years ago? You were the part of the body that I saw it. Where were you getting it going? You saw it. Why don't we? Maybe you should pick up a shovel with that pothole and get it fixed. Chris Crow did. She said, I've heard you talk about that many a times. Don't you complain about a pothole. I saw her out here one day out by the road. What are you doing? She goes, I'm filling in this pothole. I'm tired of it. Here's what I love she didn't say. She didn't get up and say, nobody else is going to do it, and start putting down the body. She just went and did it. See, that spoke volumes to me. For us to have events for the lost or the undecided, we need a bunch of people who don't need to be at church. I want you to get this point tonight or today. You can't have Sunday school, you can't have church unless there's a lot of people that are here that don't need what's being said. What do you mean? Because if you think that you don't need to be there, then you only come because you're a spectator. See, if you think, oh, I don't need to be there. I've already heard. I don't need to go sit through that financing class. I don't need to sit through parenting again. I don't need this. I don't need that. Then your philosophy is that I'm fine living a spectator mentality, and you're not hearing one word I'm saying today. There's got to be a lot of people here who don't need what's being preached. What do you mean? There's got to be somebody here, amen, in the sermon, so somebody who needed it can go. Why do I say, come on, speak up, affirm? Why am I saying say amen or say wow or let me know you're here? Tell your face. Pinch your partner. Whatever you got to do, wake them up. My dad used to, if I went to sleep in church, my ear would turn all shades of red. Wake up, boy. Okay. Amen, affirm, do something. Why? Because you're agreeing. You've already got this point. You're agreeing and you're encouraging somebody else in what's being said or done. We got to have a room full of ones here that don't need it. You know, you tell someone what you're talking about and they decide, well, I've heard that. I don't really want to come. Let me just tell you, after you've been preaching for 10 years, you're going to preach some of the same sermons because you saw the effect that it made back then. And you know that the word made such a difference. So let's preach it again 5, 6, 7 years later. Well, why would you do that? Because hopefully by this point I got a bunch of people amening and wowing and that makes sense. And the next thing you know, somebody else is agreeing and jumping right on board. And we got some participants, not just a bunch of spectators. I like ice cream. I just thought I'd share that. But anyway. Like you don't know that already, all right? Peanut butter ice cream's even better. And then you pour some chocolate and you almost have Reese's. Anyway, we're almost ready to go eat. Here's what you got to know. I like ice cream oftentimes better than green beans. But if all I ate was ice cream, as big as I already be walking like this. What? Here's what you got to know. Every once in a while, a little ice cream is good. But you need to be eating your green beans. See, you need to eat your green beans. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? This don't make any sense at all. You may have already had green beans. I ate green beans when I was 5. I'm fine with that. That's all I need. You eat the same green beans over and over and over, and it'll produce for you. If all you eat's the sweets, you're in trouble. But you got to eat your vegetables. Ugh. There are times you need to hear some things out of the Word of God you may not want to hear. Or you may hear something, well, I've already ate those. Well, you ate them when you were 5. Come on, you're 20 now. You ate them when you were 5. You ate them when you were 7. Let's eat this again today, and let's make this make a difference in our lives. For God to move in one person's life, see, they just got some terrible news yesterday. They need someone excited about the things of God because they're not excited. And it'll rub off on them. 1 Corinthians 12:14. I love the way that says that. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less. See, that's how God described the church. Rather than criticizing what is going on, see yourself as a part of the game. See yourselves. The eye and the ear don't choose what they do. They just have to do what they are. We're going to have a meeting that the ear doesn't have the option of whether or not they're going or not. See, I never go in and ask Michelle, are we going to church today or not? The crowd ought to be just as big on Wednesday nights as it is on Sunday. Are you kidding me? You don't know why schedule. I understand work conflicts and things that happen, but get a CD and listen to it. We make 12 to 15 CDs a week, and they ain't all gone. But there's way more than 12 or 15 that are not here on Wednesday nights. Ow, that hurt. Come on. Pick up a CD, stay plugged in. I never sit down to eat and ask my foot, why are you here? It never says to me, I just should have stayed in the other room. I'm not getting anything out of this. The foot isn't hungry at all, but it's got to go. But when you start taking 1 Corinthians, you just start. See, years ago, I got into a real issue with my neck. I mean, it was hurting me so bad, and praise God, God has healed that. But during that time, it was tough. I mean, I couldn't handle it anymore. So I went to a specialist. I needed to get my neck fixed so I could function. I wasn't well. And I went and had these injections put in there and these massages and the different things that they were trying to do to get my neck. And, you know, every part of my body went with me to get only what the neck needed. Are y'all getting this? Not one part argued and said, did you get anything out of that adjustment? My little toe didn't say, hope the neck had fun. How about a foot massage every once in a while? It didn't matter whose fault it was. It didn't matter. All parts showed up just to see that the neck got the attention that it needed. And it was the stinking hands and legs' fault that the neck was hurting anyway. They had messed up, so they better go there. See, they're just here and came to get nothing, only the neck. There's got to be people here that come to get nothing because the neck needed what it needed. See, that's what, you got to get this. I don't go to get, I go to give my support, to affirm, to be a part. They all need me here. That's got to be your mentality, and that way you make this something that's serious. It's priority. See, I can worship at home way better than I can do right here on the front row. Sitting here thinking, everybody's looking at me, I'm on the front row. I don't have to worry about what I'm doing in my office as I'm walking around and praising and praying in the Spirit, getting excited about what God has for us today. I don't sit there and think about nobody. I just me and God. I can worship way better without, but I'm not here for me. I'm here for what I bring for everybody else. Come on. If we start getting that, then the few that need the adjustment will be here. And because you were here with them, they're going to get what they needed. The music's not too loud in my office, and it's not too soft. It's right where I want it. The temperature is exactly what I want in my office. Some people, it's cold in there. It's hot. You're making it about you. You might as well be a spectator. See, you go to an arena, and you pay your money, and you get it, and if they don't make it enjoyable for you, you ain't coming back. That can't be your mentality in the body of Christ. But too many, that's where they are. I may be the eye, but I'm going to get what the neck needs. See, there's a commitment that the body has to each other. They all try to help each other. You're affirming for the people who are sitting around you. It's for someone else, and then you leave being ministered to. I've seen that 100 times. You leave being ministered to when you brought in your gifting to help someone else. There are a lot of things in life, in closing today, a lot of things in life that you can't be a spectator in. Marriage. Try being a spectator in marriage. It don't work. You try to be a spectator in marriage and you can just stand and watch. Let me just watch my wife do everything. Yeah, that don't work. It's not going to be good for you. See, you'll lose a marriage for sure if you're a spectator only. Know this, that you'll lose in parenting. And we've got a whole bunch of them going across this country right now. A bunch of parents who are just a spectator of what's going on in their kids' life. We'll let the government, we'll let other people, we'll let entertainment, the television, we're letting everyone else be a part of our kids' life, but we're no active part. Daddies, you need to date your daughters. It's important. Spend time with your girls. Why? Spend time with your boys, moms. They need to know what a woman acts like and how she functions so she'll know what to look for. So he'll know what to look for. Are y'all fine? But here's what we got. We got parents that are spectators. It doesn't work being a spectator and a parent. You got to be a participant. So let me just give you one more. Friendships. Now, I'm just telling you, this is the toughest one. Because you can be friends with someone you don't even know. Facebook. Come on. So you can watch everything that they're doing and you think you know them. I watch this all the time. I'm like, they don't know me at all. They don't know my wife at all. They don't know my kids, and yet they act like they know I'm just playing. And they comment things like a best friend would say, and they're like, huh. It's weird. Well, they're my friend. See, they're on my friends page. We've got a problem going on in our world because we've got friendships now being a spectator mindset. We understand friendship from a spectator, not a participant level. That's a message in itself. I'm not going any further. The church, though, I want you to understand, is the one key that you got to get right before you can get parenting, before you can get marriage, before you can get friendships functioning correctly. You got to be a participant, an active part in the body of Christ, not a spectator. Did y'all get anything from that this morning?
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you're interested in more messages by CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on our podcast link.